Okay, good evening. It's Tuesday evening, July 17th. This is Rabbi Feldman's shiur. We'd like to thank the sponsors for this week's shiur, Steve and Judy Schaefer, to commemorate the yahrzeit of Steve's father, Moshe Meir ben Yisrael, Olav Shalom. Just a scheduling note, next year, of course, being Tisha B'Av is... Next week, being Tisha B'Av... There will be no shiur. The following week, just stay tuned. I will post that email announcement.
Good evening. As we discussed last week, we're in a two-part series here, a two-part Tisha B'Av series, and we won't review everything that we discussed last week, just to the extent that it's relevant to continuing tonight. So basically, what we talked about last week was the question of what sets apart Tisha B'Av from the other Tanaisim. That there are a number of Tanaisim in this group, that together with Asar V'Tevis from Gedalia and Shabbos Abakamas, all of these Tanaisim commemorate the destruction of Beis HaMikdash and events leading up to it, and yet they're not all treated the same, because Tisha B'Av is markedly different than the other three Tanaisim. Tisha B'Av is a 25-hour experience, and the other Tanaisim are only observed during the daytime. And Tisha B'Av has a prohibition of 5 Inuyim, while the other Tanaisim are only prohibited in Achila and Shtiyah. So what is it that sets apart Tisha B'Av? How does Tisha B'Av get distinguished? So we discussed that on the one hand there is a theory of the Ramban, that the Ramban writes that Tisha B'Av is different because the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that the fast days are optional if it's not a time either of Shmad or of Shalom. That when it's an extreme of Shema, the fast days are obligatory. When it's a situation of Shalom in the absolute sense, whatever exactly that means, so then they are Yom Tovim, the Pasuk in Zechariah tells us they will ultimately be, and in between they're optional. So therefore all of these Tanaisim, really we don't have to fast on Shabbos of the Tammuz, we don't have to fast on Asar B'Tevis. So since we do it voluntarily, so we accept it in a truncated form. We're willing to fast during the daytime but not the whole package. We're willing to abstain from the Achila and Shtiyah but not all 5 Inuyim, and Tisha B'Av is not optional because, as the Gemara sets it aside from the others by saying Huchbulu Bo Hatzaris, Tisha B'Av is different because the tragedies were multiplied on that day. We mentioned the two opinions in Tosfos what that means, because it can't just be that more than one bad event happens, because that would apply equally to Shabbat Tzivatamus. So therefore we have to assume that it means something else, and we saw Tosfos has two suggestions. Either it's a qualitative statement that the destruction of Beis HaMikdash is a more intense event than other things, or it's a quantitative statement that since the same event happened more than once, that's what gives Tisha B'Av its special significance. So then we mentioned that there are those who disagree with the Ramban theory, this whole notion that Tisha B'Av is the default and everything else is reduced. And there are those, such as the Netziv, who assume that really the opposite is true, that the Shavas of Batamas, etc., are in their normal format. That was the way they were always set up to be. They were meant to be only daytime fast. And Tisha B'Av is enhanced. How is Tisha B'Av enhanced? It's enhanced, apparently, in its understanding, because of Avelos. Avelos has the common denominator between these extra Inuyim and Tisha B'Av, and therefore these extra things that we observe on Tisha B'Av are a reflection of Avelos, the mourning for the Beis HaMikdash that's grafted on to the Tisha B'Av concept. And the alternative theory that we mentioned that comes out of the Chinuch and the Minchas Chinuch is that Tisha B'Av is really kind of a negative yontif. It's a day that reflects Purania's tragedy in its nature. As the Gemara tells us, it goes back to the time of the Meraglim. From that point on, there was destruction built into the day, and therefore we commemorate and respond to that day, and it's kind of a negative yontif, and we therefore model it after Yom Kippur, even though of course Yom Kippur is a very different mood. But nonetheless, when we talk about Inu, we talk about affliction, this is the derisive way to do it, so we follow that package. So those were basically, if we're not going to take the Ramban's view, so we have these two working theories, either that Tisha B'Av is enhanced due to its Avelus component, or it's enhanced due to its negative yontif idea. There's something inherent in the day, and we discussed how the two answers in Tosfos perhaps reflect these two possibilities. Either that Tisha B'Av is different because the Churban Beis HaMikdash is more chamer, that there's something built into the tragedy of the day that we are mourning for, that's the Avelos component, or the fact that the same thing happened twice, that seems to suggest a pattern. That seems to be saying that there is something the day represents, there is something in the history, in the day, and so far in the present, and therefore it's that that we respond to. So again, all of that we basically discussed last week, and we discussed a little bit more about the whole background of that question. We discussed a few other applications of these two possibilities in theory and in hashkafa. So where we left off was mentioning that there are various ramifications of halacha as well. There are various ways in which this affects the character of how Tisha B'Av plays out. So the first area to talk about is one that's not relevant this year, but is relevant many years, happens pretty often, is that Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos. You know, Tisha B'Av can only fall out on 4 days of the week, and two of them are a Sunday, because either it actually falls out on Sunday or it falls out on Shabbos to push to Sunday, and they don't happen with equal frequency, so I don't know, you can ask a calendar or mathematician, but it seems it falls out on Shabbos pretty often. It happens with reasonable frequency. And therefore, that's a practical question. What exactly is that status? We mentioned that the Gemara had said that Rebbe wanted to be Oker Tisha B'Av. Rebbe wanted to, this is something we talked about last week, the Rebbe wanted to cancel Tisha B'Av, and Tosfos says, how could it be he wants to cancel Tisha B'Av? Doesn't seem possible. Or is it the Shama, why doesn't he want to mourn for the Beis Hamikdash? So Tosfos gave us two answers, either that he wanted to reduce the Chumras, he wanted to make it like all the other fast days, or he wanted to have it on the 10th. That was an opinion of the Gemara, and Tainus, Rabbi Yochanan tells us that if he had been there when this Tainus was established, he would have picked the 10th, because most of the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed on that day. So that was Rabbi's view as well. So the problem is, the Gemara says that his case statement was made when Tisha B'Av fell out on the Shabbos and was pushed off to a Sunday, and he says, forget about it. So it's odd. Here he says, according to Tosfos, he always wanted it to be on the 10th, and according to the Gemara, when it was on the 10th, he wanted to forget about it, when it came out the day that he wanted it to be. So we discussed last week an explanation that he was coming from the Avelus perspective, therefore he felt the 10th reflects the Avelus, and if you're going to have it on the 9th, you're saying that it's about the character of the day especially, and therefore he felt the Chumras shouldn't be there, the Chumras were Avelus driven, and that if you're going to choose to have it on the 9th, then it's not portable. You can't move it from one day to the next. That was the explanation given by Nachum Eisenstein in his Avnei Shalom. So that issue of moving it around, of is it possible to take Tisha B'Av and move it, so that does seem to be a real question. What exactly is the story when we observe Tisha B'Av on Sunday? So keeping in mind this view that the Rebbe said, according to the Gemara's interpretation of his comment, the Rebbe was saying, that once it was pushed off, let's forget about it. So what exactly is the story there? And it seems that here these two possibilities, two theoretical possibilities, affect this question first in a theoretical but also in a practical sense. In other words, what's happening to Tisha B'Av when we observe it on the 10th of Av on our current calendar? Is it that the Avelus day of Tisha B'Av is incompatible with Shabbos, and therefore we picked the whole thing up and we moved it to the 10th? It was rescheduled that year, therefore assuming that's what Tisha B'Av is, it is a day of Avelus. Or do you say no, it's not a day of Avelus, it's a reflection of the 9th of Av and its inherent character, and that remains the case on Shabbos, but you can't fast on Shabbos, you can't do external practices of Avelus on Shabbos, so therefore those aspects of the day are all picked up and moved to the 10th. Basically the Torah's Tashlumin. You make up what you couldn't do. You were supposed to fast on the 9th, you couldn't do it, so you make it up on the 10th as a payback. But essentially, the 9th of Av is still the 9th of Av. So that starts off as a theoretical question, right? That we say that 9th of Av on the Shabbos is Tisha B'Av with observances made up the next day, or do we say it's not Tisha B'Av, and that day is really the 10th of Av that year? So it affects a couple of things. One thing it affects is that there are aspects of Tisha B'Av which are private, you know, prohibition of the marital relations, so that's categorized as Dvarim Shiratzina, as something that's private by its nature, and therefore that prohibition might still apply on Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. And that was Machlokas Rishonim, as quoted in the Torah, and seems to reflect this question, not just that example, but overall the whole idea of, is there a reduction in the private simcha of the day compared to any typical day of the 9 days? Do you say that basically it is essentially Tisha B'Av, just all we're not doing is we're not fasting and we're not doing public avelos? Or do we say, no, really it's no different than the other 8 of the 9 days. It's Shabbos Chazon, it's got its own thing, but it's not Tisha B'Av, practically speaking. It also affects another issue, which is murkier, in a sense, so we'll just make reference to the issue, and that's the question of Talmud Torah. Now, Talmud Torah, in general, there seems to be a prohibition not only on Tisha B'Av, but also on Erev Tisha B'Av in the afternoon. After Chatzos on Erev Tisha B'Av, seems to be a prohibition of Talmud Torah because of concern that you'll get so involved that it's going to have an impact on you later at night as well, and you're going to be thinking about your sugya on Tisha B'Av also. So therefore, you have a prohibition of Talmud Torah at that time as well. Not everyone took this prohibition in the absolute sense. If you read my book, if you read the book, My Uncle, the Netziv, you'll see that the Netziv there is quoted as saying, actually the Beis Halevi, I believe Beis Halevi there is quoted as saying that he had a number of kulas, and one of his kulas is that he believes Mutter to learn on Eretz Tisha B'Av, he hasn't told an Issa Talmud Torah at that point. So if you assume there is an Issa Talmud Torah on Eretz Tisha B'Av, so the question is, how does that apply when Erev Tisha B'Av is Shabbos? That would apply even if it was a normal calendarical situation where Tisha B'Av was actually Sunday, and Shabbos is Erev Tisha B'Av. So does the Isser of Talmud Torah apply on the Shabbos that is Erev Tisha B'Av? And then, if it does, then you can complicate the question by saying, well, what if Shabbos is Tisha B'Av itself? And it can come at it from a couple of different angles. So basically, that's a little bit murky. I won't get into all the details of it. A number of posts from the Vazner and others have truths about this. Basically, how do you treat that Shabbos as far as Talmud Torah is concerned? Do you say that it's Mutter anyway? Shabbos is completely out of this cheshbon? Do you say that it's Usser because it's Erev Tisha B'Av? Or do you say that it's a problem because it's Tisha B'Av? And therefore, the status of Tisha B'Av somehow attaches to Shabbos, even though many of the practices are not observed until the next day. So all of that really does seem to come out of this general question of how you understand what's happening, and it affects perhaps two other issues, one very rare and technical, and one much less rare, one that applies to a small minority of people, and one that applies to all of us. The first case is the question of, you know, one of the cases that sounds like it's made up for this question. You have, let's say, a bar mitzvah boy who becomes bar mitzvah on the 10th of Av that year. So is he obligated to observe Tisha B'Av on the 10th of Av? So do you assume that Tisha B'Av has been scheduled for the 10th of Av that year, so therefore that's the first day of majority, so he should be observing Tisha B'Av at that stage? Or do we say that, no, it's not Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the day before. All the adults were supposed to have been fasting that day, but they couldn't because of Shabbos, so they make up their responsibility the next day. But if he was not an adult that day, so then he doesn't have this obligation, so he's not mechuyev to make it up. So again, it's a little bit of a technical question, because again, the scenario doesn't happen that often. Now, even if it does, to say Mamnish is off the hook is a hard case, and I think that's how the Ma'asham writes in his Chuvis, that even so, even if all is true, we still have to fast. So that case is a little bit more of a theoretical, illustrative case. Correct, that's what I'm saying. So the question of how chinuch applies to Tisha B'Av is a little complicated as well, so we'll come back to that a little bit down the line. It's why you could make a case, but it's hard to imagine it making much of a difference. So it's a little bit of a technicality kind of case. Other case that is more relevant is that we know that the whole period here, the 3 weeks, increases in severity, that we have the 3 weeks, and then from the 9 days, from Rosh Chodesh, it becomes more severe, and then we hit Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av has a greater level of severity. So what is the story of Shavua Shechal Bo in the context of a year where Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos pushed off to Sunday? So there, this is also a Machlokas Rishonim at the Torah quotes. And it could go in either extreme, and this is relevant to everybody, pretty much. Do you assume that Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, in which case there effectively is no Shavua Shechal Bo, because the only day of the week is Tisha B'Av itself? Or do you say Tisha B'Av is really Shabbos? It's not observed on Shabbos, but it is Shabbos. Therefore, the entire week has the status of Shavuot Shachalbo. So basically, it's either the longest Shavuot Shachalbo or the shortest Shavuot Shachalbo, depending on how you understand it. And that's a question, again, was debated by Rishonim, and that's also apparently a reflection of this question. What exactly does it mean when Tisha B'Av is pushed off from Shabbos? What exactly is the status of that? There are a number of other questions which get very technical, so I'm not going to go into all the details, especially because if you look at different Aharonim, we see them presenting things in opposite ways. So I'm not going to go into the details here. I'll just give you two Mar Makomos. But first, if you look in the Brisker Rav, in the Grizz, in Hilchos Tainius, and in the Menachas Chinuch, and in Kippur, and Shin Yud Gimel, you see opposite approaches to this question, so feel free to take a look and try to work it out. But the question of the Issur Rechitza, the question of washing on a tainus, so there are different rules for Avelus and for Yom Kippur. So how exactly Tisha B'Av reflects that, what should Tisha B'Av reflect, is a complicated question, because again, we're not sure, or maybe we are sure based on whatever evidence we try to analyze here, whether Tisha B'Av is a reflection of Avelus, the extra inuyim beyond the fast day are there because of Avelus, or are they there to model Yom Kippur? And that's a little bit of a complicated question, and how exactly the day reflects itself. If you take a look again in the Chassinach and the Brisker Rav, you'll see opposite approaches to this question. And a very similar point, again, you can take a look over there as well, but say from Marcheshes. Marcheshes was written by Reb Chanan Egish, who was the Rav in Vilna after Reb Chaim Moser. So in the Marcheshes, he discusses the question of Sicha, the question of anointing oneself on Tisha B'Av. And there are slightly different rules for Avelus and for Yom Kippur, and he maintains that there's basically a machlokas of Bavli and Yerushalmi on this point. So you can take a look over there and see again the halakha perhaps being affected by whether you see this as a tainus enhanced like Yom Kippur, or whether you see it as a day of Avelus, and which of these aspects are motivating the extra components of the Inuim. So this is also relevant to another question that came up. If you're looking to see it for Otsur HaGaonim, there's a large collection that collects a lot of the comments of the Gaonim, some of which we have in other sources, some of which we don't. So in the Sefer Otsur HaGaonim, at the end of Tainus, it relates that the Anshei Mitzrayim asked Rav Haigon the question of why is it that when it comes to Tisha B'Av, why is it that we don't apply the rule of Mitzas Hayom Kikulo? Now, we know that when it comes to Avelus, so we have this concept of Mixium Kukulo, it comes up a number of times in the Gemara, that we don't necessarily require observance of an entire day, but that sometimes even a small portion of a day can count as a day. So that's why we call Shiva, meaning seven, but it's not really 7 days, it usually adds up to less than 5.5 days, because it could be that whatever time is left after the funeral counts as a day, it might be a matter of hours, if that much, and the last day is usually a matter of a few minutes that they get up after Shacharis, so if you add up, it's not 7 times 24, it's less than 5.5 probably, so that's because of this rule of Mitzvah Siyom Kikulam. And we know that, even though it's somewhat of a discussion about this, we know that we generally don't apply it to things that we like. We don't apply it to Shabbos and to Yontif and to Sheva Brachas. We don't apply it to positive things. We apply it generally to negative things, to Tuma, comes up in that context, and to Avelus, things that we want to end sooner. So we apply Mitzion Kikulo to those things. So the question was asked, so even working off that assumption that we only apply it to Avelus type things, we won't ask the question about Shabbos and Yontif, but let's at least ask about Tisha B'Av. Why don't we apply it to Tisha B'Av? So Rav Haigon is recorded as having given three answers to that question. Well, one answer is, you're right, we should have abbreviated Tisha B'Av, but we're already getting off easy. Because as we discussed last time, we know that the 10th of Av also really has a status that could have been part of the deal. And in theory, if we wanted to really enforce things the way they should be, we should say that Tisha B'Av should be 2 days long, or it should be a day and a half long. It should go at least to the beginning of the 10th of Av. Should be longer than 24 hours. So the fact that it's 24 hours or 25 hours, we'll talk about in a second, the fact that it's that length is already an abbreviation. It could have been a day and a half or 2 days long. So the fact that we get off with 1 day, we're already not going to push it any further. We won't say Mikyom Kukulo beyond that. And the second answer he gives is that it's not relevant that Mikshon Kukulo is about Avelus, and this is not necessarily a day of Avelus. This is a commemoration. This is not something that is given to Mikshon Kukulo, which is really a din in observance, a din in practice over the course of the day. And the third answer he gives is that you're right, that perhaps we should apply Mikshon Kukulo to Mikshon Kukulo, to part of the day. Part of the day should be subject to those rules. But not all of it would be, and we wouldn't make sense to have a day that's broken up as far as practice is concerned. Now you might say in terms of sitting on chairs, we do break the practice, we do change the practice of the day. That's really a minig, that's not one of the central elements of the practice. But the other elements of Tisha B'Av are pretty much in full force the entire day. And that's what Rishai was saying, that even though to some degree we could end Tisha B'Av earlier 50%, but the rest of it wouldn't make sense. So that being the case, as Soloveitchik commented in his article about this, was printed in the Masorah Journal, that what you basically have reflected here is three answers reflecting three possible views of how Tisha B'Av works. That either Tisha B'Av is about Avelus, it's not about Avelus, or it's about some combination of the two. Because either it's about Avelus and Mitzvah Kukulo should apply, except that you're already getting off easy, or it's not about Avelus, and Mitzvah Kukulo is really not the relevant term, or it's about a combination of that and other things, and therefore to apply Mitzvah Kukulo would mean splitting it up, and that's the reason why we don't apply. So these three answers seem to reflect A, B, or both of the above, and these are the possibilities that we're dealing with. So when we said that that this question is 24 hours, 25 hours, so as you know, basically when it comes to Shabbos, we say Shabbos is 25 hours long. Why is it 25 hours long? Isn't a day 24 hours? So we know that when it comes to Beit HaShemashos, it comes to the whole twilight zone where the day changes into night. So the Gemara tells us in the Masechta Shabbos that that's a safek. We don't know if that's really day or night. So when it comes to a point of biblical law, when it comes to something like Shabbos, so we're afraid of Chilul Shabbos. We're afraid that we have to err on the side of caution in both directions. So we begin Shabbos at Shkia, and we end Shabbos at Tzeitzik HaKavnis. Stage one of the process, and stage end of the process. On Friday, we begin at the beginning of the process, Shkia, and on Saturday night, we end at the end of the process at Tzeitzik HaKavnis. This is without getting into the whole Rabbeinu Tam throughout the evening, assuming we know what time Shkia is, we know what time Tzeitzik HaKavnis is, whatever time you're working off of, but still, that's the practice for Shabbos. We start at the beginning of Shkia, and we end at Tzeitzik HaKavnis.
It's not Shabbos.
Mm-hmm. If it's not, if what's not Shabbos? Oh, so I'm saying this is just Shabbos, every Shabbos. First, just you're still illustrating the point. We're saying when it comes to any Shabbos or Yontif, we haven't applied to Tisha B'Av yet. First, just talking about Shabbos as a whole. Right, Shabbos as a whole or Yontif, we begin at the beginning of Shkia and we end at Pesach HaKavan, because when it comes to Shabbos and Yontif, we're dealing with biblical law for the most part, so therefore we're machna on all our sveikis, so we begin and end at the earliest and latest possible times respectively. So the question is, what about Tisha B'Av? So when it comes to Tisha B'Av, so the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim raises this question. The Gemara says, what's the story of Bein HaShemashos of Tisha B'Av? Do we say Bein HaShemashos is Aser, Bein HaShemashos is Mutter? Do we assume you have to begin the fast at the beginning of the fast of the Bein HaShemashos, which would mean that it's Aser, it's all included in Tisha B'Av, and it has all the prohibitions of Tisha B'Av? Or do we say, no, that it could be Mekel, and we can wait till Tzeitzik HaKavnis, and we don't have to start fasting until you know it's definitely night. You know, presumably saying Steka de Rabbanan Lakula, it's a din de Rabbanan, and therefore we could take a more lenient interpretation. We don't have to take into our account the unclear part of Bein HaShemashos. So the way we paskin is that Bein HaShemashos is us. So we know we begin Tisha B'Av at Shkia. Now on Shabbos we don't feel it so much because we don't feel it on Shabbos itself because we're not observing it on Shabbos, and we don't feel it after Shabbos because we go right from Shabbos to Tisha B'Av, so you're not aware of it. But now this year, and any year when it's in the middle of the week, so we know that we'll see that we begin Tisha B'Av with Shkia. So why should that be? So there are two approaches to this question. And if you look at the Rambam Perish Mishnayos, you see different, the Magen Mishnah and the Rambam Perish Mishnayos sound different on this, and the Sfasim different takes. Basically, whichever one says which, you basically have at least two approaches to this question, if not more. One approach is that we treat Tisha B'Av like biblical law. As we've discussed here in many contexts, that the concept of Divrei Kabbalah, things that come to us through the Nevi'im, even though they're man-made, they're not really daraisa, but at the same time they come with the backing of scripture, and therefore we're machmer on them. So that's how some say that basically we don't treat Tisha B'Av like a drabana, we treat it like a daraisa, and therefore that's the simple answer, it's like Shabbos. The other approach is that this is an expression of Tosefos, that the same way we have Tosefos Shabbos and Yantif, so too we have Tosefos like Tisha B'Av, and we're going to start it a little bit earlier. So that question of is Tosefos appropriate for Tisha B'Av really again reflects these two possibilities that we were talking about. Because if we see Tisha B'Av as a time of Avelis, so we generally don't have any kind of Tosefos concept when it comes to Avelis. Like we said, we normally go the opposite direction. We say Mitzvah Siyom Kikulo. When it comes to Yom Kippur, though, if we want to say it's a negative Yom Kippur, it's modeled after Yom Kippur. So by Yom Kippur, we certainly do have Tosefos. In fact, Yom Kippur, as we discussed here, is a model for Tosefos. It's really where the source comes from, and specifically the fast of Yom Kippur. And the Torah makes reference to fasting on the 9th of Tishrei. And so the Gemara asks Tisha B'Av, I mean, Yom Kippur is the 10th of Tishrei, it's not the 9th of Tishrei, so why should you fast the 9th? What's that talking about? The Gemara says, in the Kanshim I see from the Chol HaKodesh, here's where you see you have to add on a little bit from the day. So it's the most explicit case that we have for Tosefos, which we extrapolate from there to Shabbos and Yantif, but it all comes from the fast of Yom Kippur. So if Tisha B'Av is modeled after the fast of Yom Kippur, it makes then it makes sense. And in fact, in the Sefer Shalos and Tshuvos, Shem Shimon, he suggests that maybe that's not the point, that the Rambam, and if we have discussed in this past, the Rambam against all the Rishonim, the Rambam only understands derives the concept of Tosefos by Yom Kippur. And even when it comes to Yom Kippur, only the concept of fasting, not the Issa Malacha of Yom Kippur. So I said, also then it would work well, the Rambam Shittas, so the Rambam here believes that Tosefos is about Inui, so if Tisha B'Av is about Yom Kippur type Inui, so that's where Tosefos comes from. But if it's about Avelus, so that's usually not the approach. Just thinking, you could maybe say a little bit differently, but even though when it comes to Avelus, normally our approach is to minimize it as much as possible and say Suffolk Avelus Lahakil and to say that Mitzvah Kulo, etc., etc. Soloveitchik has pointed out in an often quoted voice the key differences between private Avelus of an individual who lost a relative, Rahman al-Islam, and the public Avelus over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But even though there are many parallels, and this is another construct that he's well known for, having made the comparisons to various stages within the 3 weeks to various stages in Avelus, but it's very clear that it's going in the opposite direction. Now when it comes to Avelus for an individual, so Halacha knows that the person feels that he's sad and is in a state of grief, and the point of the Avelus is to ease one out of that. So it comes from the more intense stage, and it gradually gets less intense. So it goes from Aninus and Yom Yisukura, the first 3 days of Shiva, to the whole Shiva, to Shloshim, to Yud Beis Chodesh, it eventually dissipates. It comes more and more lenient until it's finished. And when it comes to public Avelus, we come in the opposite direction. That the problem is most of us are not in a constant state of mourning over the Beis HaMikdash, and we need to be brought back into the experience. We need to be intensified, so therefore we gradually get more and more intense. And as we say, we go from the 3 weeks into the 9 days into Shavuot Shachalbo into Tisha B'Av with the intent of building it up. So maybe one could suggest, you have to find a proof for this, maybe one could suggest that, yeah, normally by private Avelis or Ayatollah is mixing Yom Kippur and minimizing, but when it comes to public Avelis where we need to instill it more, so then the attitude is Tosefos, Nedetat is the opposite attitude. But again, that's a little bit of a question. But this would also apply, as you raised the issue earlier, to the question of what is the proper approach towards children as far as the mitzvah of chinuch is concerned. So when it comes to chinuch, so when it comes to Avelus, so we assume there is no chinuch by Avelus, that even in Rahman al-Islam you have a child beneath our mitzvah who loses a parent, Rahman al-Islam, is not, really strictly speaking, Avelus doesn't apply in Yikra Adin, even in Adin Chinuch, we assume there is no Chinuch by Avelus. And when it comes to Yom Kippur, so again, we know the Mishnah tells us in Yuma that we do begin the Ketanim, so we're older than other mitzvahs because of the intensity of the physical ordeal, but when a child is nearing Bar Mitzvah age, we do start training them in Yom Kippur early. So the role of Chinuch when it comes to Yom Kippur is more clear. So again, the question of how do we see Tisha B'Av within the structure? Is it more about Avelos or is it more about Yom Kippur is again going to be affected by this question. I'll just mention one other idea. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, so Tisha B'Av is different than your standard Tainus. Tainus, we read the Torah in the morning and in the afternoon. And in general, on a normal Tainus, you read Vayichal both times. And when it comes to Tisha B'Av, it's a different rule. So when it comes to Tisha B'Av, we read a separate Kriyas HaTorah. In the morning, we read Kisol Livanim. And then in the afternoon, we go back to Vayichal. So the result in the Sefer Mishnah Yavetz has a discussion about this question about what exactly is the role of Kriyas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av, at least in the morning, where we switch the laning for something else. We don't have the standard Tainus Kriyas HaTorah, so what does that represent? So on the one hand, does it represent that it is a Tainus, and every Tainus we lane, it just happens to be we choose a different selection to this day? Or do we say that, no, that this is represents the Yontif, that every Yontif we lane as well, and on Yontif we take something that represents the character of the day, so too on Tisha B'Av it's the same approach. So what difference does it make? It's a little bit questionable, because this comparison, as we'll discuss in a second, is a little bit of an issue. That there is a discussion of the Kiva Eger has in his Tshuvas and some of the Yudalit. In the Macheshas, I mentioned him a few minutes ago, has this discussion as well concerning laning at Mincha on Yom Kippur. There, the Kiva Eger asks the question again, how do you view the status of laning on Yom Kippur in the afternoon? That when else do we lane in the afternoon, right? Normally during the week, on a Monday or Thursday, we normally don't lane in the afternoon. On Yom Kippur, we don't lane in the afternoon. So why do we lane in the afternoon on Yom Kippur? So there's two possibilities. Either because it's closer to Shabbos than it is to Yom Kippur, and we say Shabbos Shabbos, and just like we lane on Shabbos, we'll lane on Yom Kippur as well. Or because the Tainus, and just like we lane in the afternoon on the Tainus, we lane in the afternoon on Yom Kippur as well. But on Yom Kippur, we don't lane Vayichal at all. We switch both lanings, the morning and the afternoon, to something else. So, okay, so what difference does it make? Call it whichever one you want to call it. So the assumption seems to be, and here's where there's a little bit of debate, the assumption seems to be that if it's a Tainus Kriyas HaTorah, so then one who is not fasting shouldn't really get an aliyah for that Kriyas HaTorah. But if the whole Kriyas HaTorah is generated by the Tainus, so then it should only be given, as far as aliyahs are concerned, to people who are fasting. So the truth is, this is a questionable assumption. There's a truth in Nachshon Sofer about this. In the opinion seen, there's a lot of debate, and there are those who would maintain that even if somebody is not fasting, let's say somebody is not well, so they're not fasting, so that doesn't mean that they're not relevant to the Tainus. Doesn't mean that they don't deserve a spot in this Tainus-generated Kriyas HaTorah for two reasons. One is because right now they're fasting, they're not going to go up there with a sandwich, they're fasting and they get the aliyah. And then I saw the truth about what if somebody has shoes on. Interesting question. Somebody has leather shoes on, is that inappropriate? That's one thing, Taki, you might be still doing when you're called up to the Torah, but if you're eating that day, so you're not going to go up there with a chocolate bar, presumably. And B, even the fact that you were eating in the morning, let's assume it's because the person's not well, so they're not partying, they're not unaffected by the fast, they're going to eat less than they normally would. They, whatever reason, they can't make it the whole 24 hours, so they have to eat a little bit. But they're still fasting, they're still affecting them. The Tisha B'Av is still relevant to them. The fact that the fast day is still affecting them. So for those two reasons, a lot of posts can hold into question this whole assumption that somebody who's not fasting should be excluded from the aliyah. So the whole premise of the question, is it the Tainus Kriyas HaTorah or is it the Yontif Kriyas HaTorah, is premised on this issue of it would make a difference that if someone's not fasting, maybe if the Tainus Kriyas HaTorah, maybe they shouldn't come up. But again, this premise is a little bit debatable. So is it the same? Is Yom Kippur? So that's what. So after we say that the premise is questionable, so then resulting in his discussion about this point, then he brings in the possibility that maybe one could distinguish between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. That Yom Kippur, basically, first of all, because it's a deraisa construct, but also because of the way it's approached, it's the way it's phrased in the Torah, is it really comes at you from two parts. That one, there is a prohibition to be eating at any given moment on Yom Kippur, and there is a construct in the Torah of making a day of Tainus out of a whole day. So even if one has to eat on Yom Kippur, so then they're only really eligible for one of the two elements. The rest of the hours in Yom Kippur, or the rest of the minutes, they're fulfilling the prohibition of not eating during that time. But the idea of making the whole day into one day of fasting, one day of complete eating, that they're not eligible for. That they're basically anusim. They're not able to fulfill that. But when it comes to Tisha B'Av, mostly because of its Rabbanan origin and because they don't really have psukim to point to that are going to explain it, so you have to assume that the mechanics of Tisha B'Av is not that there's any significance to the day, but that every minute there's a prohibition midrabanan to be eating. So if one has to spend some of those minutes eating because of whatever medical condition forces you to do that, still the rest of the minutes are equal to everybody else. The fast, maybe in Kippur you might say not, but when it comes to Tisha B'Av, should say that a person's not eating at 5 o'clock on Tisha B'Av, they're all the same. It's only, okay, so he ate an hour ago, doesn't change now. Well, in Kippur, maybe it does. In Kippur, maybe there is a difference. The basic result you wanted to say that even if you want to assume that Rabbi Akiva Eger's premise is correct, that the question is relevant to Yom Kippur, still one could suggest that the question wouldn't be relevant to Tisha B'Av, and that's very possibly the case. And God willing, it should be relevant to this Tisha B'Av. None of these questions should be relevant. It should be, we've still got a week, so if we can throw in as much Avos Chinam as we can in the next week, never know what could happen. And maybe if it's not a kindness, we should discuss whether we'll have this year or not. We'll see how we're doing. Okay, so just to quickly review what we spoke about, so again, we won't review the things from last week, but just these two possibilities of is Tisha B'Av characterized by a tainus, an enhanced form, or is it characterized by a day of Avelus, and certain nafkaminas that could have. First of all, the status of Tisha B'Av that falls out on Shabbos and is pushed to Sunday. Is it that the whole day is moved till Sunday, there's no Tisha B'Av at all on Shabbos, or is it that Tisha B'Av is the character of the day? You can't move that, just the observances of Tisha B'Av are pushed to the 10th. And that could have possible nafkaminas. First of all, Dvarim Shabbat Sina, things in private observed on that Shabbos. The question of Talmud Torah is a more complicated question. Do you say that it's normal, it's Erev Tisha B'Av, it is Tisha B'Av? These three possibilities, how to look at it. Do you say that the Bar Mitzvah boy who becomes Bar Mitzvah on the 10th of Av has to fast or not? Maybe that's an Afamina. And also the question of Shavuot Shechabo, is it no Shavuot Shechabo or is the longest Shavuot Shechabo, all ties into that question. And then we talked about the fact that both the Inuyim of Rechitza and Sicha have differences from Avelos and Kippur, and therefore the question of how Tisha B'Av falls into that picture is a debatable point. And we also talked about with Haigon's Tshuva about why is there a mixion Ketubah by Tisha B'Av. Is it because you're already getting off easy, or is it because Tisha B'Av is not about Avelos, or is it because of a mixture of that and other things, and therefore it would mean breaking it up, and how those three possibilities reflect three different ways of looking at this question. And then we talked about the question of why is it that we're machmer and behash mashos to start the fast of Shkia. Do we say this either because of treating Tisha B'Av like a deraisa, like a suffix of a kabbalah l'chumra, or do we say this because of the concept of Tosefta? So is Tosefta appropriate to Tisha B'Av? If it's about Avelos, probably not. If it's about Yom Kippur, then that's where Avelos comes from. And then we discussed possibly a different approach, but if you say that the Rav's whole mahalach about how private Avelos is the opposite of public Avelos, you have to intensify public Avelos while you try to dissipate private Avelos, so maybe we have opposite attitudes as far as Mixtium Kikulo at Tosefta. So maybe some topic for discussion. And then the question of chinuch, is it that when it comes to Tisha B'Av is chinuch appropriate, when it comes to Avelos it's not, and when it comes to Yom Kippur it is. So that's the topic we could have a discussion about as well. And then we talked about the Kriyas HaTorah of Tisha B'Av, the fact that we lay in the morning and the afternoon like any fast day, even though we changed the selection. So is that because it's the Yantar selection, or is it because of the Tanya selection, premised on the belief that Rabbi Akiva Eger asked the question about Yom Kippur afternoon laying, is it Shabbos type, Shabbos or Boston laning, or is it Tainus laning? So you presume nafkamina being somebody who's not fasting, whether they can get an Ali or not, and as discussed, it's questionable to what extent you can apply that to Tisha B'Av, or can apply that at all, but there was some machronim believed that even if you're not well and you're eating, but still you're not eating everything you want, and you are fasting during the moments you're not eating, and then mentioned the result is possible distinction, then maybe Yom Kippur, when I tell you there's an idea that the whole day has to form one unit, and even if you had to eat, you're not allowed to eat the rest of the minutes, but you still lose that idea of Yom Kippur as a whole. And maybe Tisha B'Av as a Rabban has a different structure and eventually translates into a prohibition to eat at any moment, and therefore any moment you're not eating, you're equal to everyone else, even if you ate at other parts of the day. And then as we ended with our tefillah that Be'ez Hashem none of this should be nageya, and we should be talking about Hilchos Kiddush next week. Could be. I have to see if the Kivyaga brings that. I have to look at the Kivyaga Machashas. It could be. I don't have to tell you how to have Torah on Shabbos. I make all of our Shabbos Menchaz Mashmoni.
Shkach.